The Washington Post reported that the U.S. government is considering long-term plans to detain suspected terrorists. The plans would allow detainees to be held for life in some cases, including those whom the government lacks sufficient evidence to try in court. Among the detention options under review is one that would transfer detainees held now at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to U.S.-built prisons in Yemen and Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan. The prisons would be monitored by the U.S. but controlled by those countries. To get a better sense of what this means, joining us now is Michael Hirsch, senior editor for Newsweek. He's been covering U.S. policy on detention of suspected terrorists for the magazine. Michael Hirsch is with us here in Studio 3A. Happy New Year, Michael.
Same to you.
And Merry Christmas, too. Also joining us is Stephen Salzberg, a professor of law at George Washington University here in Washington, D.C. He's with us by phone from his office at George Washington. Thanks very much.
I'm glad to be here.
Michael Hirsch, let's start with you. What do these plans entail?
Well, it's not really defined. It's still under discussion as yet. And what you see here, Neil, is the sort of tug-of-war, the push and pull between the needs to deal with the war on terror, when particularly you've got hardcore detainees who are likely al-Qaeda. And, for example, one of the things the administration has been using almost since the start is the threat of indefinite detention against some of these detainees, effectively telling them you're never going to see the light of day again unless you cooperate with us. And now there's an attempt to formalize this. As this issue has become really a public scandal, and in particular leading up to the confirmation hearings of Alberto Gonzalez for Attorney General, because Gonzalez was so involved with some of the original memos connected with detention policy. And so, you know, you see the State Department trying to push for more above-board rules whereby, for example, if a detainee were sent to be imprisoned, presumably for life in Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia would sign on to some kind of a human rights guarantee, even though Saudi Arabia and some of these other countries are not known for their human rights practices.
Now, politically speaking, what's behind these proposals? I mean, you mentioned the criticism. There's been international criticism, too, that indefinite detention is effectively a form of torture.
Yeah, what you see, right, exactly. I mean, this is the problem the Bush administration is dealing with fundamentally here is that particularly these kinds of renditions, as they're called, which is sending suspects to home countries where it's known or believed that torture is practiced, or to third countries, or to some of these so-called ghost facilities that the CIA has been running, runs right up against U.S. guarantees under international law, the Convention Against Torture, for example, that the U.S. has signed onto, which really forbids these kinds of practices. And what you see here is the spectacle of the administration trying to, find some legal justification for these kinds of practices. And they haven't, they haven't resolved the issue yet.
Stephen Salzberg, we've asked you to join us because didn't the Supreme Court say that all these detainees had a right to their day in court last year?
Well, the Supreme Court said that people who are detained at Guantanamo have a right to seek habeas corpus jurisdiction in federal courts. And it didn't say, however, that people anywhere in the world who are held in prison can seek such relief. And it also didn't say what rights, if any, these people actually have. And so one of the situations we find ourselves in is we don't know exactly how far the judicial reach will be. The Congress has basically been AWOL, and this has become an executive issue, tempered only by the limited judicial involvement so far.
Thinking back to that Supreme Court decision, the question of whether or not Guantanamo, Cuba, was effectively under the control of the U.S. government was a major issue in that decision.
Well, it was. It was. I mean, and one of the things that scares people about the proposals, and they're only proposals right now, is that we will send people into countries, basically claim that the facilities that we probably will have paid for are not U.S. facilities, that we have no control over them, and that therefore there is no judicial review. And if that happens, it means the executive can effectively sentence someone to life imprisonment, whether or not there's torture. I mean, imagine a low-level al-Qaeda person, somebody who assisted in some way. The administration basically reserves the right to send people away for life upon its own unfettered judgment that that person is a threat to the United States.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. And let's get a caller in on this conversation. And this is Barbara. Barbara's calling from Ardmore, Pennsylvania.
Hi. I'm really happy you're talking about this. And I also want to know, the other day, without announcement, the Justice Department posted a new I think, expanded definition of torture. And I just wondered how your guests read this. Is it political? Is it really moral? Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it there.
Okay, Barbara, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Michael Hirsch, this is a new tweak of the definition?
Oh, yeah, no, unquestionably. I mean, this is basically the follow-up to what Alberto Gonzalez, the nominee for attorney general himself, said at a June 22 news conference after the Abu Ghraib scandal really hit the fan when he basically said about the now infamous memo, that the so-called torture memo, which basically defined torture so narrowly that anything other than severe and permanent pain or damage could be allowed, effectively, under this memo. It became a huge scandal at the time. Gonzalez said then, no, we don't really believe this. We're sort of disowning this memo. This is just legal memoizing, he said. And so what you see now with this latest effort, just before Gonzalez's hearings, is an effort by the administration to say, we're really permanently disavowing this now. It's now down on paper, and we no longer believe that, that any sorts of methods of the kind that we discussed ourselves should be allowable at places like Guantanamo Bay, even though the Red Cross and others have said that such practices are probably still continuing.
Mm-hmm. And just to get back to it, as Barbara suggested, some people believe this new definition is an expansion of the torture definition, an expansion from the previous memo, an expansion from the U.S. Army Code for Interrogator.
It is. Whereas before you had a very narrowly defined idea of torture that allowed almost anything other than, as I said, severe pain, permanent damage, now some of the techniques that were discussed, for example, open-handed slapping and things like that. In other words, pressure techniques, coercion techniques that were being used against recalcitrant detainees would now be disallowed under this new definition.
Okay. And Michael Salzberg, Stephen Salzberg, Michael Hirsch mentioned in passing the situation. We're talking about some of these detainees held in Guantanamo Bay, but there's also these ghost detainees. These are people being held in CIA facilities. We don't know where. We don't know how many, though they're are apparently hundreds. What's the legal justification for holding them?
Well, the president claims that he has the inherent power to protect the United States. He also claims that Congress, in the resolution that authorized him to take force against the people responsible for September 11th, authorized him to do what was necessary. I think that Michael has made the point, and I think he's correct, that many, many people around the world believe that ghost detainees, that is, people who are sent into other countries for interrogation that would violate American and international norms, that violates the our international obligations, and that the president is bound by those obligations. In fact, remember the one thing about the torture memo. The other thing that was in it originally was the suggestion that the president, in a time of war on terror, was not bound by international law, not bound by our treaties. And that's no longer in the new memo.
Michael, the ghost detainees, though, they are not in these prospective prisons in Saudi Arabia. They're in U.S.-controlled facilities, whether they be afloat or in various bases around the world.
Yeah, this is something that's very hard to get at. It's also classified. It hasn't been investigated. The CIA's own investigation into the detainee issue was narrowly confined to Iraq and Abu Ghraib and places like that. There is no investigation currently going on into what's going on in these other facilities. I don't know when, if ever, we will ever know about what goes on in them, but I think it points up, the sort of tragedy, I think, of this whole story, which is that methods that were intended for use against a small handful of hardcore al-Qaeda detainees like Abu Zubaydah and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, among those who are suspected to be in these facilities, came to be justified for use against a much wider population, including many Iraqis. I think there is, a very legitimate issue here, moral and legal, over what you can do to some of these detainees who might know information about a terror plot. I mean, that's essentially what the administration is grappling with. But they just let the thing get out of control, and that's why you have this, this continuing and ongoing scandal that's going to affect Gonzalez's confirmation here.
Mm-hmm. Yet, Stephen Salzberg, as we look at people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, there are difficulties over exactly what you do with a person like that.
That's exactly right. We are right now on the horns of a dilemma that really requires a lot of debate and requires some participation by Congress. And that is, we have people that we don't want to try to prosecute criminally in regular United States courts because of concerns about national security information. Also, we don't want them here because we want to continue to interrogate them for intelligence reasons. On the other hand, we have a constitution and a presumption of innocence, and we purport to be the leader in the world of adherence to the rule of law, and there's something that runs totally against that when we claim the right to do everything in secret, accountable to no one, just trust us. Every government in the world that said, trust us while we lock up people indefinitely, we condemned in the past. And now here we are leading the way.
Stephen Salzberg, thank you very much. Stephen Salzberg, a professor of law at George Washington University here in Washington, D.C., and Michael Hirsch, we appreciate your time as always. Michael Hirsch, a senior editor at Newsweek, who's been covering the U.S. policy on treatment of suspected terrorists for that magazine. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.